Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's episode of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. This week, it's just the fellas chopping it up. You know, we just sitting around sipping on a glass of bourbon. And, you know, we're going to talk this thing up. We're going to talk UVA football. We're going to talk about things that are going down at FSU. We're going to talk about the Division I Council and their recommendations to the board of directors of the NCAA. I got it, Hawk. I told you. Yeah, I got it. Talk a little bit of UVA possession groups.
I'm glad you ain't
have a hiccup. Yeah, yeah. Talk a little bit about UVA's position groups and the Power Five defections, or not defections, but the Power Five decision where two of the teams decide they want to put the pause button on this season. So we're going to jump right in and talk about two of those teams, two of those conferences right now. Hawk, how do you feel about the Big Ten's decision and the Pac-12 decision deciding to push the pause button to the spring?
Yeah, man, it's a tough situation, man, because, you know, as a former player, you want to play. And the window isn't that big as far as, you know, sports and your goals, what you set for yourself to play professionally. But then we never had to deal with a pandemic. And you rely on the leadership to kind of be a couple steps ahead, and you would think that a lot of things would be set into place for a lot of these conferences to not have to push the season back. You know, you can understand high school, that's a little different, but college and the money that's generated in the NCAA with the testing and just the precautionary measures, you would think they would be in place, because I could go back to when the NBA was talking about the bubble, how folks laughed and thought that was going to fail. Now the bubble is like the greatest thing on earth. And you got a lot of people trying to replicate that. And pretty much that's what you're going to have to do if you want to have a season. And when you cancel I'll put this out here, Cub. Anybody going to play no football in the spring if you college? Is the draft going to move?
No.
Okay.
Look, they could move the draft back 1 month and it would not make a damn bit of difference.
Yeah, so – I mean, let's be honest. Anybody that has aspirations to play in the NFL and know they're going to be on a draft board, you really think they're going to take the chance of playing in the spring and possibly get an injury or just how their body could be beat up, and then you go from that right to testing? What about bowl game? Like, it's so many things. In theory, it sounds good to just push it back to the spring, but that's pretty much lost. That season's lost for them.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I don't see Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, you know. Let's just say Justin Fields for right now.
Because
we're assuming that the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 are going to continue, and we're going to have a full season. I mean, I got a dream. Everybody got to have a dream.
Yeah, man, you got a dream.
That is. So Justin Fields has probably played his last state as an Ohio State Buckeye, along with a number of talented dudes. Because think about it this way. If I'm a first-round pick, or if I'm getting first-round grades, what's my incentive to play? Seriously. In the midst of a pandemic, I'm opting out anyway. Period. Because why? Because, you know, I really got a built-in excuse, you know, not to come. Hey, why am I going to play in a season? I got a valid excuse to opt out. You know what? I won't be judged. Let me go ahead and get ready for the league now.
Yeah. I mean, because essentially – and I know a lot of folks don't get turned off by this conversation when you talk about a player making a business decision, because student comes before athlete, and we all understand that. But you have your outliers. You have your athlete students. The guys are just phenomenally talented and athletic that we know. School, they didn't go to school for school. They went to school for their sport. And the school asked them to come to their school for the sport and not for the books. And this is the uncomfortable conversation that a lot of folks like to not discuss, but you know us, because we're comfortable being uncomfortable, so we talk about it. And you have to make this business decision. I was on the field where Anthony Poindexter tore every ligament in his knee, and I understand that school will always be here. Now, granted, when you return, you may have to pay for your own classes unless it's a program and would, you know, allows the school to still provide that grant aid for you, but you got to strike while the iron's hot. And if your dream is to play professionally and it's a pandemic year and you know you got a first round grade, you got to opt out.
You know, and it's crazy, man. I remember you know, I didn't come to UVA thinking I was going to the league, first off. I came to get that degree because, you know, they were like, hey, man, you can get a great job once you leave. So for me, the focus was on the degree. I just happened to have a great career at UVA and got an opportunity to play in the league. 5 years done, and okay, it was great. And I remember when I was finished, I was like, man, you know, these dudes need to finish school. You know, the money's going to be there. You know, the NFL's going to be there.
Yeah.
Or that I grow up, you know, in future thinking, because at the end of the day, no, the money ain't always going to be there. Mm-mm. You know, and injury, that you one play away from never being able to play the game again. And so the money that is out there for these young guys now is just too big. You coming back and paying for school, not an issue. And so the mind is still going to be there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you short, because I recommend it all the time. Look, guys, make sure if you're going to leave early, go back and get that paper, though. If you done been there 3 years, man, go back and finish it.
Yep.
Go back and finish what you started. That's just a bonus for you. That's something else that you got that it can never take away. It's going to cost you a little change. Okay, so what? At least you got three plus years of it already covered. So come back and handle that business. And because you cannot play the sport forever, but get that money while you can get that money. Period.
Yeah, man, you definitely have to. And like you said, Cove, I was one of the few advocates of saying the money's going to be there, but how much? And a lot of times, like, once you lose money, you never get it back.
Ooh.
Like, people could say, oh, he got his money back. No, he didn't. Like,
no, he didn't.
Once you lose money, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And it's generational wealth type money that's waiting for you on that next level if you peak at the right time. Because a lot of times when guys come back and they have phenomenal senior years, they could peak early in that first contract to where that next year when they are offered, you know, they do play an additional year and then they offer a deal. Maybe that year wasn't as good the year before. Mm-hmm. And you know, Cub, it's all about hitting your peak at the right time. It's no different than training for the season. You want to peak at the right time. They'll tell you that, hey, man, make sure you're not draining yourself. You're not burning yourself out. Take your time. And that's just what it is, man. It's all about timing in sports.
For sure. You know, I look at a kid like Bryce Hall, who is one of my mentees. You know, he should have left. He should have left. Mm-hmm. I was happy that when he made the announcement that he was coming back, but I was nervous as soon as he said it because all I could think about was AP. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Bryce, you know, he did all the things. He did all the right things. And then when he went down in that Miami game, my heart sank. Because I was like, please, please, please don't let it be that serious. And I looked down there, and the way his foot and leg was twisted, I'm like, oh, my God, this is the worst case scenario. You know, kid wanting to come back, feeling like he had some things to finish. You know, his mind was in the right place. Kid just loves UVA. He loved what this university has done for him, and he wanted to finish what he started. I wish he would have come out, because you look at his grade, his potential grade coming out, you know, and – what he had done his junior year, 20 plus PBUs, bruh, he running jokers down, bruh, his body of work coming from a 2-star, nobody knew who he was, to he take away half the field.
Yeah.
You know, and so just a straight dog. And then for him to go down, I'm like, oh, Lord. And so then, you know, hey, he does get drafted fifth round.
After Joe, a couple spots after Joe.
Yeah, but the Jets got him for a steal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, they happy. Yeah. They got a first-round pick in the fifth round.
Exactly. And so how many years is it going to take him to get that money back, though, Paul? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. How many years is it going to take him to get that money back?
And you know, the great thing about Bryce, both of us knowing Bryce, knowing his heart, is a kid that football didn't hold demean over him, so you understood why he came back.
Yeah.
Bryce was the guy that cares about a lot of things besides football. So that's why we understood, and it wasn't like, damn, Bryce, what the hell are you doing? It was like, I expected that. Because somebody asked me, yo, you think Bryce going to leave? And, no, they said, if you were Bryce, would you come back? I said, see, that's the key phrase. If I was Bryce, I'm coming back. Because I know, I'm thinking like Bryce. I know he's going to come back.
Right.
Thinking like me at UVA, I would have left because of what I seen AP go through. You know, so, but this is just about timing, man. That's what folks got to realize when people declare early and they leave early. It's the timing.
Yeah.
And it's not football related, but basketball related. That's why Justin Anderson left. the timing.
Yeah.
It's the mystery. It was like he had a hot streak shooting the basketball. We knew what he could do defensively. He had that injury to his hand. I think it was like to his pinky or something, or his wrist. And people were like, oh, he should have came back. No.
Right. For what?
It was that. Do you realize his film from this year is great? It's hard. It would be hard for him to top that. And that's how scouts always look at, how can we get you at his cheapest? Like Malcolm Brogdon. Oh, mm-hmm. We can get him in a second. Oh, he's a top flight player. We get him in the second round.
Right.
Don't jump out there.
Mm-hmm.
We can wait. It's a hustle.
Yeah. I mean, it really is, man. It just, and folks don't understand the ugly side of the business, you know, of professional sports. Mm-hmm. They just think, hey, you know, this guy, no, it is corporate big business. It is ugly. And there's so much that people don't tell you about, you know.
Yeah.
And I think you and I try to educate the guys that are coming up through the program and try to, you know, hey, fellas, we want to give you instruction. This is what to look out for. You got to manage your chips. You got to manage your expectations. And that's something that we're going to continue to do, man. And, you know, it's a hard reality once you go and then it happens. And then they turn around and look at you and be like, aha,
aha.
I told you.
Yep.
So, you know, that part of it is what it is. So another question for you. What do the medical professionals in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten know that the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 medical experts not know? Because they're saying that it's not good to play. And the medical examiners on the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 are like, play on.
Yeah, man. I wonder if is it just the climate? Like, what is it? the beaches, the women, like what do you see that's like? I want to ask that too, because you got some parts of the country that like, man, I ain't worried about it. Other parts of the country, hey, we still quarantining, so it makes you think like, who's who and where are you getting your information from? And also, is this just showing you that the ACC trusts the leadership at each university compared to the other conferences as well? Like, if you look at UVA, the practice clips they show you on Twitter, the photos, you see how all our players wearing the full face shield.
Right.
And our coaches got the mask on. They got that daggone, like, the welding mask.
straight you know face visor. Call it a face visor.
Yeah, but then, you know, not to throw any shots, you look at the other school up the street, some of their players ain't got on visors. So they can't be messing up our money. Cause they don't want to listen. Cause if I'm a college player, I'm like, yo, bro, you must like, you want to play. Do all you got to do to make sure we get to the start of the season, and that we can make it through the season. Like, do everything you can. Like, if you got to be overly cautious, you be overly cautious. I just don't understand this. Oh, it ain't real. Like, yeah, it might not be real to you, but still, come on, man, do what you got to do so we all can play.
Yeah. Bottom line, and that's one of the major concerns that I have, is that you probably got a handful of the schools that are going to follow the protocol to the letter, you know, mm-hmm. a la UVA to the letter. Hence the few instances of, you know, positive tests.
As opposed when we first to got back,
yeah, and as opposed to other universities who are not following it to the letter, even though they are in the ACC and potentially jeopardizing everybody. You know,
they withholding information. They
got
false tests.
Facts. You know, so hey, and how about BYU and Nebraska trying to find somebody to play in the sandbox with?
Hey.
Nebraska, like, man, look, let us get out the Big Ten. Hey, can we come to the Big 12? BYU, can we come to the Big 12? We just want to play this year, man. And folks are just, it's a mixed bag. Of course, Nebraska fans like, oh, we love Scott Frost. But then you got other folks who are like, hold up. Y'all got $52 million in money, in television money, you know, coming to you. And you want to defect? Y'all know y'all in debt. You know that's why you came here in the first place. And now you want to bounce? They like, yeah, all right, good luck with that.
Good luck. Man, it's just amazing to see, man, that, again, it takes us back to what we said at the top. Leadership, you understood when the coronavirus hit. I mean, you heard rumblings in January, December. Start to prepare for the worst so you can ease up, not go in easy and then try to ramp it up just because, you know, the guy that's the supposed to be the leader of the free world, didn't believe it. Like, yo, you know how much money the NCAA, like, come on, NCAA, you know the money's right. Like, see, they got, they look, we could, you could tell who was a hustler growing up and who won't.
Oh, right.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Because a hustler is not gonna doubt anything. Any intel, a hustler is on top of it.
Yeah, for sure.
They what? They said they're going to do who? Oh, no. Nah. You believe it? Ain't about if I believe it. We're going to make sure it don't happen.
Right. Right.
That's a hustler's mentality.
It's crazy, man. It's just, it's like, this is one of them situations, you damned if you do, you damned if you don't. You know, it's, there's so much money involved. You know, it's college sports is big business. And universities depend, they can say what they want. They depend on the money from athletics. You know, the major two, the major three, you know, basketball, football, and baseball. And, you know, so you look at it, so somebody like Nebraska, talking about, oh, you know, we stand to lose 80 to 120 million. Okay, well, you could probably, at every university, you know, that's of the Power Five, have that same issue. Put that on top of missing March Madness. You know, another, what, 9 billion or something. Yeah, it's just the numbers are just extraordinary. Yeah,
you already got hit by that this year already.
Yes, yes. And so how do the universities survive? But at the same time, is that the student athlete's fault? Is it on them to save the universities? I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
I don't think so.
That's a key question and statement. Why is it on the student athletes to save what the adults didn't do?
Right, right. And you know, the ones that talk about, oh, well, they get a free academic, they can kiss my ass with that.
Ain't no free.
Yeah,
free
it's
an exchange.
Yes.
It's an exchange.
It's an exchange.
That's everybody. Look, ladies and gentlemen, it's no free scholarship. Sure. It's exchange for services. Yep. I play and make sure I maintain this GPA. In exchange, I don't have to pay for books. In exchange, I don't have to pay for room and board. But my sweat pays for all that.
Yes.
Trust me. You get it back in liquids.
Yeah.
All the tears, the sweat, the blood, that's your payment. But it's an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
It's an agreement. Because if something's free, you can't, you can lose something that's free, but can't nobody have a decision when it comes to your fifth year if you're a red shirt, if you can remain. That's how you know it's not free.
Right.
Because if it's free and you did everything you're supposed to do, there's no decision if you could come back for fifth year. Because people think fifth year is guaranteed. No, that's a decision for the head coach.
No, it's not.
And that I don't know if I don't mean to jump too ahead, but that's the issue you run into if a player opt out and that proposal of them, you know, allowing you to keep that year or get that year back. Because it's people, when you become a redshirt freshman, senior. That's a decision now.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that until Al Groh got here. And a lot of guys that were rising fifth years at UVA, basically a redshirt senior, when I was, you know, on camp with the Falcons and getting phone calls from them, like, yeah, bro, my last season because, you know, Groh didn't give me my fifth year. I'm like, give you your fifth year? What is that?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah. Ooh, that smooth pat on the back. Thank you for your service. Really?
You're attaboy.
Right. Right. Dude, I tell you what. I think I learned the lesson. My fifth year coming back, I really wanted to, you know, because my undergrad was in communication. So I really wanted to go to grad school for that, you know, so I could continue that. I loved it. I loved my communications classes and what have you. And, you know, when I applied to try to get in to the communications grad program, you know, I went and met with the dean and they were just like, well, you know, we're turning away kids with 3.5s and so on and so forth. So, you know, we appreciate your little 3.0, but I looked at him and I looked him right in his eye and I said, but understand, I've got two jobs here, one football and one student. All right. And I said, before I came here, this university had gone to one bowl game. Mm. All right. Since I've been here, we've gone to two more. I'm sorry. We've gone to three bowl games. Mm. And I said, we brought in, I've been a part of bringing in millions to this university.
And millions.
From what I did on the football field. I said, so to me, that's not an equitable exchange. You know, and he kind of just looked at me with, you know, with the little puppy dog eyes, you know, but like, okay, well, hey, we appreciate what you done. The door's right there, though, you know? And so, I mean, it was like, that taught me a lesson, though, Hog. I was just like, yeah. Okay, I see how this business works now, though. You know, mm-hmm. I'm gonna take everything that I can get from you, because I know, hey, I'm getting paid off you. You know, but when it comes time, yeah, you got an education, sure, you got your degree, but that's we giving you the minimum.
We giving the you minimum. The minimum,
you know. And so, hey, bro, the long and short is, fellas, go get your paper while you got a chance.
Yeah, man. And speaking of paper, be wary of signing that piece of paper called a waiver.
No.
And understand how waivers work.
Right.
Because if you don't meet every letter of the law in that waiver, it's voided.
Yes.
And at the age, look, I'm speaking for a 41-year-old man now.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I would have signed a waiver quick, fast, and hurt, because that's all I knew.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm being transparent. All I knew was football class. Mm-hmm. If you try to take away one from the other, I didn't know what to do. Now, if you took away class, I knew what to do. Don't get me wrong. But if you took away football, I wouldn't have known what to do. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was invincible. So I can only, you know, you can only imagine they go up to a young student athlete and be like, hey, you want to play? Just sign this waiver. You be all
right. Right.
They're not going to ask what's in the waiver. Nope. Like, if I get corona, nope. Do I have to foot the bill?
Right.
If I get an injury outside of corona and, you know, things happen and I get an injury and don't meet the letter of the law, am I on the hook for all these medical mm-hmm. bills? So that's the thing, man.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that they're taking care of these young men, bottom line. You know, I mean, you know, we talked, the one thing that I am happy about is that the Division I Council has recommended to the Division I Board of Directors to mm-hmm. adapt some minimum protections, meaning that, as you kind of alluded to earlier, that one, an extension of their fifth year eligibility period, mm-hmm. or two, an additional season of competition if they participate in only 50% or less of the maximum number of competitions. So it's almost like you know, you're redshirted, you're playing that, hey, you got four games to play before you can decide to be redshirted that first year, you yeah. know? So that's kind of in essence what it is. And so I appreciate them trying to do a little bit of something.
Yeah.
But once again, I think it's still the bare minimum.
And that's the piece that we talked about, that it's going to fall on a student athlete, because unless you expand the rules, the scholarship amount.
Right.
When that new, like, either you're going to have an incoming freshman that you can't offer a scholarship, or in our terms, you're going to have that old head player that you're going to say, yeah, I know the pandemic year, we said we're going to give it to you back, but like somebody's going to get it's a student athlete that's going to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the tough part. It's no different than the NFL, where they opt out. You know, if they get paid the 150 or the 350, they essentially got to pay it back,
whether they make it or not.
You know what I'm saying?
Explain that to the listeners, Hawk.
So the opt out this year for the NFL, if it is deemed that you are at a medical risk of the coronavirus, and you're a veteran, you get the $350K payment. You get paid $350K and you're not even playing. And then if you are a vet that wasn't at risk, you get $150. But it doesn't count. I think the $350, it counts as a season. You might get the accrued season. I'm not for sure, but I know the $150 you don't.
Right.
So at first I was like, all right, cool. Owners, that's dope. You gave them a choice if you're a vet. If you're a rookie, right. You got to play.
Right.
But if you're a vet, you got the option. So I'm clapping. I was praising them because I was talking about what Odell was saying, how the owners don't care. And I was like, well, the owner's showing that they care. So I'm kind of combating what Odell's saying. Then come to find out the very next day, they was like, oh, but it's a small fine print that the players got to pay it back the next year.
Whether you make the squad or not.
Whether you make it or not. Do you know around tax time how that's going to feel? Because that's going to be added on.
Oh, yeah. Facts. Facts.
That's added on income.
That's a hurt piece.
Yeah, you paying it back and it's still added as income. So yeah. you got a loan. So you get a loan from a bank. And I don't know, does it work like that? If you get a personal loan, like if you get $10,000 loan, do you got to add that on the income when you're paying it back? Does it work like that?
I don't know if it's a loan, you have to pay it back, like, because you do have to pay it back with interest.
Yeah.
So you're
not reporting that on your taxes though, right?
Nah.
I know if I seen, you know, folks when they had those settlements with folks and they get forgiven, then that's added on, like the amount they don't pay back is added on to as income. But I opt out because of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. You give me, and you say I'm at risk.
Right.
You tell me I'm at risk. I get 350. Even though I should have made 3 million, I get 350.
Right.
But I got to pay it back the next year?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, they do you a favor. No interest, though.
And they taxing that 350. Look, they taxing the 350 they gave you. You better hope you live in Florida or Texas or Vegas.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So yeah, that right there. But hey, a lot of folks not getting nothing during the pandemic. True. You know what I'm saying? So, because I know it's gonna be folks that's listening, like, look, man, I ain't getting nothing. Like, you shouldn't be able to get paid if you're not working. And I'm with folks. That's fine. Because I was surprised that they offered that for NFL players. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But I did feel like if you were at risk, though, you should get something. Like, if it's showing you at risk,
right?
That's a little different than somebody just opting out.
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, but it's just like them going on strike. You don't get paid if you go on strike.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So at least they are giving them something. They got to pay it back. You know, because it becomes a thing. A guy got to bet on himself. Plain and simple. Because bills still got to be paid. You're used to making a salary. Trust me, if you're not getting paid, those bills still coming to the crib.
That's a fact.
You know, and if you've decided to purchase a couple of big things, you talk about timing, you mess around and have purchased your first home or finally decided that after you done worked your ass off, you get a nice whip, you know, and then it's because of a pandemic, you're not getting that check. You think that mortgage ain't going, they going to start, they're going to be like, oh, we're sensitive to your need. Nah, brother, send me my check.
Yeah, let me get that, Chief. I definitely need it.
Yeah.
That's what they said. Hey, that take me back to the Eli episode. He had just got the crib.
Yes.
He had to go to Detroit. I will say one thing. He realized taxes were different in Michigan than Cali.
Yes, sir.
He probably was happy about that part.
Smiling all the way away from California. Be like, you know what? Cool. Hey, and your Steve went south to get his crib. He ain't no fool.
When he said he was in Florida, I said, you was a smart man.
Come on.
I would say what? Florida, Georgia.
Texas.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Texas?
No taxes.
Talking about what you can get for a crib for the money you pay.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. So, let's move forward a little bit. Let's talk about FSU, man. And, you know, once again, this coach, Mike Norvell, they ain't played a damn snap yet. And this is his second scandal. First one, you know, something he put out there in regards to George Floyd and how he was supporting the players. Lie. This time, Warren Thompson sends a letter saying, hey, we not being protected down here. Guys aren't getting tested, so on and so forth, to the point even his mom, I think it was his mom or either Tamarian Terry's mom, wrote a letter saying that, look, we not going for this. Our guys, you know, we need confirmation that all of these things are taking place. And Norville sends a letter like, hey, that's not true. So I'm like, dude, it is a absolute mess down at Florida State. And what conference does FSU play in?
The damn ACC.
See, and so if they're not following the protocols, that was one of the things that we were talking about. You in the ACC. You know what the protocols are. Follow the damn protocol. Plain and simple. Or you're going to screw it up for everybody, and we won't be playing.
Messing with that damn money. It's our money now.
Yes.
We got Notre Dame to give us some of that NBC bag, and here you acting like this.
Boy.
Way to take the damn attention from Notre Dame, Florida State.
Right.
Way to take the attention away from Miami, because they usually always messing up down there. Come on, Florida State. Yo. The trust factor is gone there.
Yes. Yes.
It's gone.
I'm like,
I couldn't imagine being recruited by Florida State right now if I was a high school kid.
Because at the end of the day, somebody lying.
Yeah, somebody.
Coaches lying or the players lying.
Yeah, and so, why?
I mean, come on. I'm going to lean on believing the players and what they see in. Mm-hmm. Especially something like this. They're in a hot spot in Florida.
That too. You in a hot spot. That's the last place you need something like this coming out. You don't need nothing like this coming out for Clemson because of Myrtle Beach and FSU or Miami. Everybody waiting for one of y'all. And Florida State, you did. Man, listen. Look, you got people deleting tweets talking about never mind. That's how you know. They probably, ho, don't be snitching.
Like, right. You big dummy.
What you trying to do? Coach, what you trying to do?
I just don't get it, bro. And hence, that's why I feel like we're going to end up not having a season.
You know what, Cub? I'm going to propose this. Since UVA is doing everything by the book, and we keep testing, and the testing keep coming back, is no new positive tests. You know, we got 4 total since they've came back. No new tests. What, the last, a month, 3 weeks, something like that. If UVA keep doing what they're supposed to do, since Florida State shaky, they got to come here. Since Clemson a little shaky with Myrtle Beach, you got to come here too. Like, if your state not right, you test, get on the plane, and you got to come to UVA where we know they straight. Mm-hmm. But if you iffy, you lose your home game.
I agree. That's hot. That's hot. I like that.
Yeah, reward the teams and reward the universities that's doing it right. Simple as that. If y'all don't want to play by the rules, either you forfeit or you travel. But either way, you're going to have to go by the letter of the law. But we don't trust your leadership to house another university's team for 3 days, 2-3 days, whatever it is. So, no. Right. So
now, that would be a logistical nightmare, but I approve of that message.
Yeah. You gotta come to Charlottesville, buddy, pal, both of y'all. Miami, Florida State, because y'all in Florida and Florida State acting shaky. So we're gonna put y'all together. We're gonna lump y'all in.
All right, let's talk a little bit of UVA football. They about 3-4 practices in. You got any intel?
I can't tell nobody. You know, Bronco got horses and I'm scared of horses. I'm scared of horses, and he got a bunch of them. So, but what I will say is this. How can I phrase it?
You want me to hit the theme to Jeopardy?
No. I got it. What I'm gonna say is this. You gonna like what you see.
Just gonna toy with my emotions like that, huh?
Mm-hmm. The fans, you gonna like what you see. I know Bryce Perkins left. Big shoes to fill, but there's a reason why people wear different size shoes and they like different style of shoes. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, that is.
He ain't Bryce. Bryce is a goat.
Right.
But BA, yeah.
I like it.
That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah.
you like it, I love.
Hey, there we go.
Boom.
Hey.
That is.
Hey, that boy.
All right, like so let's chop it up on a couple of on positions real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at what we have coming back, let's go offense first.
Okay.
At receivers, we know we got Terrell Janna. We know we got Kelly. We know we got Kemp. We know we got Wicks.
Wicks.
Who else as a potential that you see could have potentially emerged because we got to have some young boys come in, because I think we probably had some opt-outs ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, who else do you see on, you know, that really needs to emerge at the receiver position or has the potential?
You know what, man? Baby T.O., I know you see him on Twitter all the time showing he a specimen. You know who Baby T.O. is?
Yeah, that's
out
Wicks.
Of receivers.
Is that Wicks?
No, not Wicks. Usa.
Abasi.
Abasi. You know, I always kill his name, so I just call him Baby T.O. because he's built like T.O. I'm expecting him to really, you know, remain healthy and make an impact, man. I don't know if it's just my personal relationship with him and just always watching his videos and knowing what his mindset is, but he reminds me of when Hassis, it clicked for him that, I got a lot of talent. I need to put some responsibility on it.
Right.
I don't think he's that extreme as far as, like, he had an issue to where he had to mature. His main thing is he has to know how to recover and take care of his body.
Yeah.
In a way that, since he doesn't have a lot of body fat, you know, you run into that issue. So if he can remain healthy, I think he could definitely help us. You know, I'm excited about Wicks, of course. We know what the Munchkins can do.
Right.
Janna is that dude.
Yeah.
Shout out to Janna and the groundskeeper movement with Coach Higgins and Zane. And I saw Carla was on ACC Network and she plugged them. So salute to that movement. But
fine.
Yeah, man, that's gonna be fun, man. It's gonna be fun to see all the weapons that's on display. Because Janna was essentially that kid that was under the radar. We knew what he can do.
Right.
And then he exploded because we needed him to. So it's gonna be interesting to see who's gonna be that. So you got Janna, Wicks, the Munchkin. So who's going to be that fifth guy? And we know them damn tight ends. Well, we ain't talked about the tight ends yet, but yeah, as far as a fifth receiver, I'd be interested to see if Baby T.O. could be that guy.
Right. I've been liking what I've seen highlight-wise from Lavelle Davis, the first year, the 6'7", first year.
He every bit of 6'7".
Yeah, he looked like he could be a slight problem for dudes.
Yeah. Just, he got to give him some protein shakes.
Yeah, he got to get in the weight room because he looking real slim.
Yeah, he like J-Hub playing football right now. When J-Hub first got here, people remember when J-Hub first got the UVA? Just go pull that up. He was like literally.
He was looking real slim, fam.
Yeah, man. It like if he sneezed, he was gonna, you know, pop a rib or something. He ain't got that problem no more though. Shout out to Jay Huff.
Right, right. Well, I also, you know, so then let's move into the tight ends. I think the kid from Central State. Oh my gosh, I'm having a brain.
It's Michigan, right? Is it Central?
Central Michigan.
Yeah.
Central Michigan. Boy. I think, dude, gonna be an absolute problem for folks.
He athletic too.
Yeah, big boy. Blocks well. I don't know how to say his last name. Is it Polian? Tony? I know it's Tony.
You know, I just call him TP, Tony P. TP, I do nicknames, man. I killed Tyler Papa's name for so long last year. He had to help me pronounce his last name. I said, no, you just Samoan Slasher.
Hey, you got me using the bag on nicknames too, huh? If I can't say a name, I quick go to I just told the fans. Now they know when they hear me on the radio, they be like, cub, must I know his name?
I admit my faults quick. Hey man, I can't pronounce his last name, so we gonna give him a nickname.
You're like, I'm gonna go ahead and apologize in advance.
That's why Dave in the driver's seat. That's why Dave in the big seat.
Hey, I'm there to support. I'm a support system. And you know what? I forgot about Rayshon Henry coming over.
Yes.
I forgot about him.
Man, we getting so many just added additions, bro. Like, that damn back sitting to go up on Twitter, boy. Sheesh. Man,
look, I'm telling you what. Those are, but offensively, between Henry, TP, Ronnie Walker, and the kid from Towson.
Oh, yes, sir. You see him return? You seen his highlights returning punts and stuff, too?
Yes, Shane Simpson.
Shane Simpson, yeah.
Man, he a problem. You talking about shifty.
And, I mean, I could essentially see Shane as being put into the slot because it's, you know, that's not saying he Olamide, but Olamide was essentially a running back when he got here, and then he became a top flight route runner. But it's there.
Yeah.
Opportunity is there.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's bro. Like I said, people can sleep if they want to. I'm hoping that we do play, because we're gonna put that fire to some ass this year. People gonna they look at us like, oh, we thought, well, we did say they only had 1% chance of.
Yeah, you only had three threes gone now.
Right. Yeah, and so they're gonna be big mad. They gonna be big.
And people forget Simone Slasher had what, 12 touchdowns last year.
Yup.
Man, that's a lot of damn touchdowns.
Hey, like my grandma used to say, same thing, make you laugh, make you cry.
Make you cry. Hey, so, man. All you need is just additional touches. And what helps with that? No turnover to offensive line for the first time since Bronco been here. Coach 2J up there, he love 2J now because, you know, he intermittent fast and stuff. He healthy. He running around. He ain't big 2J, but he got them biggins right up front.
Yeah, and we needed that, bro. This should be, if there's ever an opportunity for the running game to emerge, this is definitely going to be the time for that with the offensive line and what they can do. So, you know, we're excited about what the big uglies up front. You know, let's move over to the big uglies on D.
There we go. You got Smiley and them boys.
Yeah, man. We got you got Briggs, you got Smiley, you got Alonzo. You know, I'm thinking we probably have some opt outs that haven't been announced.
We'll hold that to the vest.
Yeah, I don't know that to be true, but I'm wondering. I can do is wonder and speculate.
What's the young boy name? The freshman, big D lineman, because he's been getting reps with the first team. They tweeted about that.
What? Who? On D line?
Huh?
On the D line?
Yeah. His name just slipped my mind. I don't have it in front of me. Oh man. God dog.
I'm mad I missed the tweet.
Yeah, I mean, God dog.
I think. Yeah. Well, you know. Well.
Anyway.
We know.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, we ain't gonna get too much into it, but
yeah, I mean, but you know, at the end of the day, we've got depth there. You know, we've got depth at the position that we haven't had historically. You know, last year was probably one of the first times that we had a little bit of depth. We've got more guys now that are seasoned, that get it, and now we've added some more depth with two guys that transferred from JMU. You know, that played significant amount of snaps, you know, at JMU. And so the potential for us is great in that front seven. We know what we bring at the linebacker position. You got Snowden on one side. You got Taylor on the other side. You got ZZ Stop. You got nephew Nick Jackson. You got Snyder. You know, you got some dogs. And then
Deshaun, you got Gam, too. We can't forget Gam.
Oh, yeah, can't forget Gam. Then you got Hunter Stewart, who will emerge. Deshaun Henry, he will emerge. Josh Ahern. You got some guys.
Josh Ahern.
Yeah, bro, you got some guys back there with so much depth, and they're athletic, you know, so you can put them in positions to be successful. Mm-hmm. I am just excited as hell about that front seven and what they've got. If there is a position that I'm a little nervous about is our corner position and our depth at corner.
That's a first in what, about 3 years?
Yeah, you've got Nick Grant, you've got Darius Bratton coming back from an injury. I know he's gonna be hungry. But I don't know what they have other than the young guys. So I don't know the young guys that are backing them up. And I think we need
Heskin is still there, Heskin Smith.
Yeah, we need some guys, young guys to emerge. I mean, they've got some guys with length.
They got some big, some tall kids.
They looked real thin last year. And so my hope is that during this offseason, they've been pushing trucks and, you know, chopping down trees and getting a lumberjack on.
They were quarantined, so they should have gained a little bit of weight.
Yeah, so they got them big forearms and, you know, them arms where they could just choke slam somebody at the line.
Yeah, they should have been with some baseball players. And you know, in baseball, you do little wrist curls, get your forearms big, you put your little 5-pound weight on a stick, and you tape it, and you roll it up, and then you roll it back, and you go backwards. Get your forearms stronger. Yep. That's where home runs come from, I heard.
No doubt, no doubt. and then as we move back to the safety position, you know, you've got experience. You've got Joey. You've got Brent. You've got Devontae.
Got Carey.
Yeah, Carey coming back from injury.
Then the kid from JMU.
You know, the kid from Amos from JMU, mm-hmm. who looks like the real deal. He's All-American. He looked like the real
deal. And I guess Brenton is really a safety, too.
Yeah, Brenton.
You know, he plays a nickel. You know what I'm saying? But he's a safety.
And he's a cover safety, too. That's what I like about him.
So, all right, here we go, Cuff. We got to do it. Who the hell going to play safety?
So I look at it from this standpoint. Joey makes a lot of tackles, a lot, but I want him to be a little bit more physical. You know, I've talked to both him and Devontae. I want them to put their face mask on somebody.
I was about to get you to elaborate, because a lot of folks that watch the games and look at statistics will say, well, he has so-and-so many tackles. Yeah. So I wanted you to go further when you talk about physicality, and you just said it. You want them to hit him in the mouth.
Tackling is want to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you pull up that left pec and that thing beating in there and it can't wait to get out. That's you that's you coming up wanting you put your hat on somebody. You don't be going down, shoot for their shoelaces. Now mind you, don't get me wrong. If a dude got you head up face, running back coming at you, full head of steam, squared up, that's why you on scholarship. Get him down at all costs.
Yeah, get him down.
Don't miss the tackle. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's a time to – I didn't learn this until I got to the league. There's a time for a kill shot, and there's a time just to get him down. Because trust me, ain't no shame about getting your ass run over as long as you get him down.
Get him down.
Especially when he squared up and he done came through that line quick. You the last line of defense as a safety. Just get him on the ground.
Down.
What we cannot do is, man, we gave up too many. We had too many missed tackles that ended up lighting up the scoreboard when a dude just got to come up and make a play.
That's a fact. You
know, and like I say that's want to. And that's Devontae. That's Joey. You know, I've talked to both of them about that. So I expect both of them to get better at that. And both of them, I love both of them. They both play extremely well. But, you know, when we going to critique them. We're going to critique them. And this ain't nothing that we haven't said to them personally. Just to know, look, put your face on their tail, on their hind parts.
Put them on their hind parts. If you aim for the hind parts, if you happen to shoot lower, you by the hamstring. But if you go straight to the knee,
you will get him down.
Sometimes, and you saw that. Sometimes it's hard to bring your arms and your hips when you're going downward.
Right. Right. You know,
And that's what Cub talking about. And like he says, no knock on either young man. It's just like that next step. And he's evaluating them like a scout will, because they're looking at the type of tacklers that they are. Sure, tacklers are guys that aren't afraid to just get you down. You know, it's a lot of times folks get carried away with guys getting ran over and stiffed on, but the back didn't gain a single yard after contact. Yeah. So yes, he got ran over, but they went down.
Right.
They just fell backwards.
Right.
But he came straight down.
Right. Shit. Hey, that's the price of doing business.
As long as I'm getting right back up, or if I'm coming up with fist up, meaning it's still fourth down. You can run me over. Fourth down.
Right.
You have the field.
Right. Real rap. Real rap. So look, Hawk, I think we gave him a nice little rundown on a couple of different topics. Look, we're going to have some special guests in the near future. We got Ray Roberts on tap, Thomas Jones, Smoke Mizell, Tim Harris, Quinn Blanding. So the lineup is going to be real thick for our listeners. But occasionally, you know, sometimes Hawk and I just want to get in here and chop it up.
Yeah, man.
For you guys.
You got to drive your own vehicle. You know, damn passages all the time.
That is. You know, it bees like that sometimes. You know,
Nas had a classic album. He had one feature, AZ.
One. Hey, one.
You know what I'm saying?
So, hey, we look, hey, both of us, you know how we roll. We both half man, half amazing. So, I mean, damn, you know damn.
Hey, man.
Well, cool. We'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it up with our last segment, as we always do, with Shut the Hell Up. I am Underdog. Hawk, let's just rock it out and just let people know something that you mad at, but you going to get over it.
You know what I'm mad at, man? I'm mad at the dumbass people down there at Florida State could be messing up the ACC money. That's what I'm mad at. What the hell is going on? Get it together, all right? We ain't coming down there to no damn Florida State or Coral Gables. We ain't coming down. Y'all got to come to Charlottesville right now. Y'all messing up. You know what I'm saying? Coach, shout out to Coach Bronco and the staff, UVA and their staff, athletic staff, call it everybody doing what they got to do to make sure that they treat COVID as serious as possible.
Right.
Florida State, I ain't cursing, but get your hind parts together.
Word. All right, that'll work. Now, what I'm mad at, I'm mad that we got to go to Florida two times in this damn football season. I'm mad that we got to get on the road for the first six games of this damn season. I'm real hot about that. But you know what? You know what underdogs do? They tighten it up and refuse to be out work. So trust me, we gonna light fire to that ass on the road and make it do what it do.
You know what, Cuff? It'd be messed up. I ain't even gonna speak that into existence. We gonna really be mad we had to damn drive all the way to Florida twice.
Yeah. Woo! Somebody gotta get their ass whooped.
If I got to drive out of Florida two times?
Two times?
Yeah. Everybody with visors anyway.
For real.
I got three plays in me.
Right. Three plays. I'm breaking at least 6 inches of the size 12 off of somebody hind part.
I need a dog from the boundary corner. I need the blitz. I ain't covering nothing.
Look, I might be good for about 1.5 hard body plays though. One and a half. That's all this old body got in it. I swear, it's like, bro, it's tough to get old, bro. For real.
Man, you ain't lying. You talking about the IT man, all this running. I've been pounding water away. It's loosening up, though.
Good.
I'm out here, feel like Fred Sanford.
Hey, you just got to keep grinding, fam. That's what we do. And, you know, that underdog mentality, baby. We refuse to be our work. You know, we gonna overcome whatever it is. But we refuse to be our work, and that's how we gonna end it today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in to the Lockdown featuring T-Cub and Ball Hawk.
Oh, hey, before we finish, though, make sure you subscribe.
Absolutely.
To the show. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you share it.
Hold on.
Make sure you holler us on the message boards, too.
People ain't subscribing.
I'm just making sure. I just want to holler at us on the message board, though.
You know?
Let's start a thread every episode. Tell us what you think.
Exactly. You know we want that feedback, constructive feedback, because this is for y'all. We doing this all for y'all, and we want to continue to just uplift the things that are going on at UVA and in the masses, and we want to have great conversations. So again, I know we haven't done our fan exchange and whose fan is this in a little bit.
Yeah.
But we get back to that. We just want to make sure we're giving y'all content each week. To talk and chop it up about. So with that being said, this is The Lockdown, and we are out.